Is it important that followers of Christ go to the polls and vote? If so, why? That's one of the questions you'll hear discussed on this first episode of A Biblical Perspective on Elections, a podcast from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Some of the other questions that our guests will tackle include, how can you prepare for going to the polls? And what if your candidate doesn't win? Along with this podcast, we're also offering a free companion resource to help you this election season. It is also called A Biblical Perspective on Elections, and it offers scripture, prayer points, a summary of some of the issues in this election, and insights from Franklin Graham. To download your copy of A Biblical Perspective on Elections, just go to billygraham.org/guide, or you can use the link in the show notes. The moderator for this roundtable discussion is Justin Arnott, who serves as general counsel for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Welcome, everybody. This is Justin Arnott. With me today, I'm so thrilled to have several distinguished guests, one being Meg Kilgannon, who's a senior fellow for education with the Family Research Council, formerly director of the Office of Faith and Opportunity Initiatives with the U.S. Department of Education. We also have with us Vince Riley, who's a pastor here in Charlotte at the Meeting Place Church in North Carolina. Vince is formerly a festival associate with BGEA, thrilled to have him, and also a long-term employee with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, Bob Paulson, who's the editor of Decision Magazine. Welcome to each of you.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
You know, this is an interesting time, of course, in our culture, in our country. There's so many things up for grabs, it seems like, everything from truth to where are we headed. And we've got the 2022 midterm elections coming up. So I guess, Meg, why don't we start with you? You know, what's up for grabs? What types of offices are up for grabs from national to local here?
Well, depending on where you live, you could have a Senate race. You could have a governor's race. Everybody has a member of Congress up this term in the 2022, 2024, 2026. And then the state and local races, and those are really the ones that are nearest and dearest to my heart. School board races, county board of supervisors races, county commissioner type races, races for sheriff, all of those kinds of things could be on the ballot where you live.
You know, it's really important that we remember all of these candidates running for office are God's creation. We should remember to pray for each one of them. And folks have a variety of perspectives across the spectrum, listeners included in this. And so as we march through these conversations, of course, we're not trying to direct anyone to any particular candidate or party. We're asking them to search the Lord on how to steward their responsibility in the public space. And so I appreciate the perspective you bring to this. It's very helpful for us. Let me throw out another question here. Why should Christ followers see it as an important duty to participate in elections? What kind of guidance does the Bible provide on those kind of things? Who wants to jump in on that one?
Well, I guess as pastor, I will jump in and answer that. Well, I think the Bible really speaks of our obligation to put those in authority that are going to be godly. In fact, it says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rules, the people groan. And I think that's the foundation for making sure that we are putting the candidates in the office that the Lord would want. And so, you know, that takes some researching and that takes some finding out the issues and what their stance and what they believe in. But ultimately, since we are obligated as Christians to submit ourselves to the governing authority, then we should be obligated to pray and to make sure that we're being led by God to put the right candidates in office.
So that's a great point. And a follow-up question for you, Vince, because we are instruments of God, you know, to work out through elections and all that, His will. So if we don't go to the voting booth, then how is Christ's presence going to be felt? Because we who know Him have to be present in order for that to happen. So the question is, what should we look for in a candidate? You know, particularly if candidates are not Christian or their faith isn't evident, should I ever vote for a non-Christian?
Well, and I think that comes down to, Justin, just again, evaluating and knowing who they are. I think it's important for us to look at each candidate and know, you know, what's their focus. And we should focus on their specific experiences, what's been their accomplishments. We should know what's their ethics, even their attitude on certain things. We need to know what they're passionate about, you know. And I think those things will help to guide our process, our thinking when we go to the polls. And yes, we have a spiritual obligation as believers to due diligence and to know what these candidates stand for. And that's important to have that knowledge before going into the voting polls and to register our votes.
That's very helpful.
And if I could add just another thing about the kind of candidates we're looking for, I was able to interview Tony Perkins of Family Research Council for our October issue. And he mentioned, here's a quote from him, "I believe we should choose leaders who know God and who fear him. I don't think being a Christian alone qualifies you for office, but I believe we should be looking for leaders who have a biblical worldview, who look to God's word for direction on the issues."
Right. So how do you find that out, right?
Yeah.
How do you find that out? Well, anybody who's running for office is trying to talk to voters. So you can meet them out at an event where they are shaking hands and talking to people and ask them questions. Ask them, what do you say to me as a person with a biblical worldview, as a Christian? How are you going to advance my values, protect my religious freedom? How are you going to serve me as a taxpaying voter in public office? I'm a taxpaying voter who also happens to be Christian.
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, engagement with those that are in part of the process to understand who they are. And Meg, do you know of resources, for example, that those that may have less engagement or less time on their hands, how do they orient themselves to this world that seems kind of overwhelming and ambiguous?
Sure. At Family Research Council, we have a tremendous amount of information on our website related to election issues, information about life, education, the family, and that's all available at frc.org.
Another helpful resource would be A Biblical Perspective on Elections, which is a downloadable guide from BGEA, and you can find that at billygraham.org/guide. You know, sometimes Christians will say something like, well, being involved in politics or involved in elections is sort of meddling in the affairs of man when, you know, God asks us to be involved in spiritual things primarily. And so there's been this myth that has developed around the separation of church and state and what that sort of means for us as Christians in the political space. Should a Christ follower be concerned with the affairs of man, so to speak? And Meg, I'm looking at you as I'm asking that, but I'm sure open it up to Vince and Bob to comment on that too.
I'm a big yes on that. So I.
One thing that I see is that historically in the Bible, you have lots of examples of God's people seeking to influence government leadership. Go back to the Old Testament prophets like Elijah with King Ahab, Jeremiah with King Jehoahaz. Even when there was a good king who basically was following God but failed, think of King David and Nathan, or another time when he took that census that was against God's will and the prophet Gad came and reprimanded him for that. John the Baptist reprimanding Herod for having his brother's wife. Paul before Felix and kind of started hitting a little too close, I guess, because Felix at one point said, okay, that's enough for now. I'll talk to you again later. And so you've got God's people really trying to have an impact on the way government is run.
I think about Daniel, too, being part of the process, but not fully participating in that process, right? He maintained his identity and his devotion to the Lord, and yet was able to serve.
And I think also, too, Jesus said that we're not of the world, but we're in the world. And, you know, it's amazing how when we first come to Christ, that God doesn't immediately take us out. You know, when we come to Christ, he leaves us here because it's for a purpose. You know, we're here to bring glory to God, you know, and so that's as being agents here in the earth. That's what we do. I mean, we bring glory to God. And so we're not of the world, but we're in it. And you know, of course, our Heavenly Father, He's concerned about what happens in the world. He's concerned about what happened politically. He's concerned. If not, then He would just take us out and remove us, right? And so because, you know that He's concerned. In fact, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That in itself says that God is concerned, you know. And so if God is interested, then we should be, right? And so we should be concerned about the things that take place, that go on. And so the way we do that is that we get involved, again, politically. Now, I'd be the first to tell you that I don't preach politics from the pulpit. I don't think that's my place as pastor. And so, but my place is to encourage my congregants to be involved, to vote, to exercise your right to vote, to know who the candidates are, to know what they stand for, and to vote, because ultimately we want to see God's agenda. And I think it's our responsibility to have a kingdom voting mentality. In fact, I was listening to a broadcast by Dr. Tony Evans, and he mentioned the fact that it's important for us as believers to have what he called a kingdom voting mentality, right? And so he defined it as the kingdom voting as the responsibility and opportunity of committed Christians to partner with God by expanding His role in society through civil government.
You know, talking about kingdom voting, a resource we're offering is a free digital download of Decision Magazine's special election issue. And it talks about why this year's elections are so important and compares the two parties' positions to what God's Word says. You can get a copy by going to decisionmagazine.com and clicking the button at the top of the page to let us know where you'd like us to send the link for the download. But Justin, I'd love to get your perspective on this idea of separation of church and state, because so many people think that phrase is actually in the Constitution. So can you explain what the Constitution really says?
Well, thanks, Bob. Actually, I was going to circle back to that and say, I referred to the myth of the separation between church and state. And that phrase actually comes from a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1802. It's not in the Constitution that way. I think what the framers were concerned about, of course, is government directing the affairs of religion or impacting the church in a way, the church or other religions in a way that it became sort of a state religion. And that, of course, wasn't the intent, and it's not been the way we operate here. But it does not mean that the church doesn't impact government. And in fact, the framers are perfect examples of how that was intended to work. In fact, they talked about and wrote about how true it was that if there's not a moral citizenry, one that's directed by religious principles and personal faith, how would this government continue? Because it was designed to rely on people that had some element of faith, a greater picture for how the universe is structured and how they are under the authority of a sovereign deity and how the law is handed down from there. So if you don't have respect for the rule of law because you don't think it comes from anywhere else other than man, then how can you govern yourselves because you don't respect the decisions that come from those that participate in that process? And I think that this leads perfectly into the next question that I had for our discussion, which is, if the candidate for whom I was led to vote for doesn't win, what does the Bible say about adherence to and support for the prevailing government and authority? So if our people don't get voted into office, do we obey the law? Do we obey the direction of those that are ruling? Which one of you wants to take a crack at that?
Yes, we do follow the law, right? But there is also room, because of the way our Constitution was written and our founding fathers beautifully asserted and defended their belief in the fact that our rights come from God and not from the state. We're the only government in the world, the only nation in the world who's ruled by that kind of philosophy. And so there's room for civil disobedience. If, for example, the question of abortion, it's the law, doesn't mean I have to have one, right? Or it was, right? There's going to be a conversation around that, right? But if you vote for a candidate and that candidate doesn't win, that might be a reason for you to engage even more with this elected representative now and making sure that he understands your point of view and understands his role as a public servant is to represent all the people of his or her district, whatever that is, right? And that means that he or she needs to hear from everyone in that district, right? And we all need prayer. And that is especially true of those who have leadership responsibilities. We need to pray for our elected representatives.
That's exactly right. In fact, that's what scripture says. It says that we should pray for those who are in authority and that we should cover them. And that's what we do. And so, yes, to answer your question, we do have a spiritual and a biblical responsibility to pray for those who are in authority. Now, there are times when, as we see in scripture, there's times when man's laws come against God's law. And so in those times, you know, there's a decision, you know, because we submit to God's law. So what happens when man's law violates God's law? We see this in scripture. We see this with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The law was, the king said, you bow down when you see the golden image. That was an edict of the king. That was a man-made law at that time. Well, biblical law says you don't bow down and worship any other god. And so it brings Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the direct line of fire, literally, because they disobeyed man's law to keep God's law. But however, we know that story. We know that God showed up and God was with them when they disobeyed man's law, but decided to stand up for God's law. God was with them. And there are times when that happens, right? When man's law violates God's law. And so notice, you know, we are always looking for God's kingdom agenda, you know, but even with that, you know, we're not obligated to carry out an unrighteous law. We're obligated to follow God's law, right?
That's good, Vince. You know, I'm reminded that, Billy Graham, our founder, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, of course, was often referred to as God's ambassador. And so Mr. Graham came with humility and winsomeness, and he was informed, but as a goodwill ambassador for Christ in the public space. And I think in today's society, where we're so polarized along ideology and belief, it's easy to sit back and lob our opinions and demand our rights and so forth. But you know, if we look at the early church, you know, they weren't born again into a Christian culture, or certainly not one that was centered around biblical values. So it's interesting to see how in a world that is changing and Christian thought and Judeo-Christian values may be a minority and increasingly so, and the gospel is not understood the way it was in previous generations, and its impact is not felt on society the way it was in previous generations. I think it's important for us as Christians to focus again on relationship and service. It's not as much about demanding our rights and that others see things our way as it is about developing a heart of service to the Lord and how we care for, get to know, and pray for those that are different than us. Because I think at the end of the day, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. So if we want to attract people to Christ, maybe we have to take Him to them before we expect them to come to Him. And so that's, I think, powerful in the political space too. So I guess following up on that thought, as a Christian, could I be more effective in my witness by steering clear of the ballot box? Or do, am I still required to vote even if I'm doing other things to work out my faith in the public space?
I think there's no way that you could be more effective in your witness by steering clear of the ballot box. I think the thing to remember is your kindness in talking to people. And if it comes up, well, who'd you vote for? Who'd you vote for? You know, to be respectful and to have the love of Christ be coming through in your conversation. And actually, for me, I've been convicted lately. Here we are talking about the midterm elections, but, you know, the need to engage earlier in the process, you might find sometimes that the person who is now in the midterm in the election, you kind of wish, there was another person from that party who I think probably would have been better, but you didn't engage early enough to make a difference in that, you know?
Does anybody else have any thoughts on that? How to work out our faith in the public space, voting, non-voting?
Well, not voting is a vote,
yeah.
Right? And I don't like to cast that vote. I'm a voter, a serial voter, I think is the technical term for me as a primary and election day voter. I think in the business of marketing to people, they call that a serial voter. But not voting is a vote. And I think that people who are in politics, while when you're running for office, you are very focused on talking to the voting file, right? Because that's who's going to be turning out to the election. I think we always need to be mindful of the people who are not voting and what that says about the process, what that says about the candidates, what that says about the effectiveness of government. Does it really impact them? If it did, maybe they would vote, right? So there are a lot of things that are said by not voting. I am a more direct person, and so I like to be sure to cast my ballot. But it is a secret ballot, and I don't have to tell anybody what I did, right?
That's right. And you may want to, and you may not want to, and that's great. You know, I think the Lord gives us conviction and timing and all of those things in our relationships to talk about those things. So any other thoughts on how do we engage our faith in the voting booth or whether to, or encouraging others to vote before we move on to discussion of some of the issues that are in play today?
We used to think about elections in terms of election day in November. Mm-hmm. And now, as you were saying about the primary process, Bob, it's also, you know, we have early voting, absentee voting. You know, if you do want to be engaged and you do want to be involved, there's a much larger window of time when you can be effective in that by being involved in that process. And I think a great way for Christians to engage in the process is to ensure the integrity of the election itself. You know, we as Christians believe in fairness. We believe that things should follow the rules. And you know, so even if you don't want to vote, go to your county and be an election volunteer and help other people who do want to vote cast their ballot in an orderly fashion.
Well, that's a great
right?
point.
Because this is there's a whole process behind, you know, I'm going to vote and I'm just the one person there voting myself, right? But there's hundreds, thousands of other people who are going to be walking through those doors. What a great opportunity to witness your love and to see the Christ in others by helping them exercise their civic duty to cast their ballot.
And to be a part of supporting the infrastructure,
yes,
that has to have integrity for any of us to trust in the result. I think that's a great point, Meg.
Yes.
Yeah, that there are ways, even if you don't want to be involved in sort of the messiness of politics, you can sure be a part of supporting the process through which people of all different perspectives engage in order to conduct our civic affairs. That's a great point.
My husband's family, his mother and father are from Ireland. They came here in the 50s, and they always volunteered as election officials in the county where they lived. They worked at separate precincts. And, you know, you're not advocating for a candidate at that point. You're just there to help someone go through the steps of voting. And I love them for a lot of reasons, but that was certainly one of them, that they, being immigrants to this country, valued the voting process so much that they wanted to spend their time doing that.
What a wonderful point. And everybody loves a fair referee, don't they?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Even if they don't like the call, they knew it was the right one, right?
That's right.
That's important. Meg Kilgannon, it's clear you have a passion for this that's born out of your concern for people and your love for Christ. So thank you for sharing with us. Bob Paulson, thank you for being with us here today. And also Vince Riley, thanks for offering your perspective as a pastor on what you see going on in the life of your church and community. Thank you all. Again, A Biblical Perspective on Elections, a podcast from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Justin Arnott, your moderator. Thank you.
Well, here in this first episode, we have already covered a lot of territory when it comes to taking a biblical perspective on elections, but there is still a lot more ground to cover. So be sure to listen to episodes 2 and 3. You'll hear Justin Arnott and his guests talk about issues such as gender ideology, education, and abortion. They'll also discuss why prayer and scriptural truth are essential for the Christian during an election season. If you know of anybody who could benefit from hearing these episodes, please, would you tell them about this podcast? It's our prayer that it's going to be a helpful resource ahead of the midterm elections and ahead of any election. Another resource we have to offer is a free downloadable guide by the same name as the podcast. It offers scripture, prayer points, a summary of some of the issues this election season, and insights from Franklin Graham. To download your copy of A Biblical Perspective on Elections, just go to billygraham.org/guide or use the link in the show notes. Thank you for listening to this first episode of A Biblical Perspective on Elections, a podcast from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.